So someone comes up to you with some bad news about another person. Are you quick to believe it and spread the gossip? Here's Pastor Dave Rolfe with the loving response.
What love does is just goes, okay, calm down here. Let me look into this a little bit more. Let me not just be so quick to believe something bad about someone that I won't even look at it. Love gives the benefit of the doubt. Love doesn't immediately go and bowl somebody over for something you heard they did or you heard they said. Love comes to someone and says, you know, I heard this, but I just wanted to hear from you. Like, what's the story? How did this happen? You can beat them up later after you get the whole story, but until you get the story, love just says, I'm not going to jump to conclusions. That's what love does. Love is patient.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
When you see someone mess up, are you the type of person that is quick to pick on them and blab it around town? Or are you known as a safe person that can be trusted with this information? Today on The Balanced Word, we'll see what the Proverbs have to say on the matter. Pastor Dave Rolfe has titled his message, Tattletales. You may have been called that a time or two as a child, but sadly, many carry that behavior well into adulthood.
Well, we're going through the book of Proverbs and pulling out key concepts and teachings that Solomon gives us to help us do life better, to help us live life more effectively. And this morning, we are looking at what Solomon has to say about basically being a tattletale. You were probably told when you were a kid, nobody likes a tattletale. And yet, in this day and age, it's becoming more and more common. My little four-year-old granddaughter, Sadie, will definitely someday work for TMZ or something like that because she's the biggest tattletale around. She'll go to her mom and say, Daddy ate this candy, or the other day we came in the house and, you know, like most houses that have a woman in it, you know, you have like a million pillows that are there for no reason. And the pillows on the sofa were all kind of mixed up. And she goes, Papa, look, pillows are messed up. And I go, yeah, you know. So I went upstairs to study, and she came up later, and she goes, Papa, Nana messed up the pillows, but I fixed them. I bumped something on the coffee table, and she was there, and something spilled, and Ann goes, oh, it's okay. And Sadie goes, it wasn't me, it was Papa. But adults kind of do the same thing. A few years back, we were sitting in our kitchen, and I think it was Ann's sister, Sharon, was over at our house, and Sharon looks at the cabinet, and she runs her hand over it, and she goes, Ann, that came out okay. You can't even hardly tell. And Ann's going like, no, don't, you know. And I go, what? And Ann had apparently done what I repeatedly told her it's probably not a good idea. She had left a candle underneath the kitchen cabinet, and the cabinet caught on fire. So she took it upon herself to refinish it and see if I would notice. And thanks to her tattletale sister, I did. And now I'm tattletaling. That's the way it goes. In our culture, though, we have almost developed an art form to tattletaling. Tabloid journalism, you know, things like WikiLeaks and Edward Snowden and all these people. It's like we almost expect that whatever it is that is said or whatever it is that happens, it's going to be broadcast. Somebody leaves a microphone on, oh, you're going to read about it, you're going to hear about it. Anything in your life becomes just public information. Social media really has accentuated this. When somebody will just make a little tweet, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's blasted everywhere, and then they're like deleting it or claiming that their account was hacked or something like that. It's, you know, nowadays the whole idea of let's just keep this confidential, it almost doesn't exist anymore. We have made tattletaling something that we just sort of expect. But let's see what Solomon has to say about these kinds of things. Turn over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, first of all. Proverbs 10 and verse 12. He says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins." Love covers all sins. Now turn over a few pages to chapter 16 and verses 27 and 28. Solomon says, "An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends." Now turn over to chapter 17 and verse 9. "He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends." Then finally, chapter 25 and verse 2, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter." Basically, all of these scriptures are letting us know that sometimes a cover-up is a good thing. Sometimes it's a good thing to just say, you know what, let's just look past that. Let's let that one go. Let's just not broadcast everything that happens. And so we look at this and understand, yeah, there are great things that the scripture teaches. Obviously, you know, Noah's sons, Shem and Japheth, when Noah was doing something embarrassing in his tent, they backed into his tent and covered him with a blanket, and that was seen as being something that was very honorable. And so when we see these things, we begin to think, wow, so it's actually good to cover up something rather than to bring it to the forefront. And in general, in our lives, for the most part, that's probably true. But these same scriptures have been used by people who victimize other people, where we cover up sins that have victims attached to them, and therefore we allow sometimes sins to continue, usually a powerful person hiding behind these sins to take advantage of someone who is powerless. And we all are familiar with scandals that have happened and gone on for years because of people who would rather cover up a sin rather than to confront it and to deal with it. But it's still basically true. Hey, love covers, evil exposes and digs up. But the thing is, how do you know the difference? I think we would all say that, well, when something bad happens that has an innocent victim, somebody needs to do something. I think we would all say, oh, if I was, you know, if I were back at Penn State and that stuff was going on, I would have confronted. If I was involved in the Catholic Church or if I was wherever, it's everywhere that we go. It seems like sometimes covering up sin really creates a mess. And yet, the scriptures also, you know, just support the value of not exposing everything. So how do you know what to cover up and when you should squeal? And, you know, I think even from these verses, we get some ideas. First of all, when he said that it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search out a matter in chapter 25, there in verse 2, the last verse we looked at, there are needs for certain people to be in a position of authority. Our society would fall completely apart if we didn't have law enforcement, if we didn't have police officers, if we didn't have judges. And there is certainly an important role that the government plays in protecting its citizens by being a force. How fast would you drive if you knew that there were no traffic cops who were going to give you a ticket? Now I know sometimes now they just put up a little thing that shows you how fast you're driving just to get your attention. But if you see that, you know there's no cop there. And sometimes I haven't done this. Well, I don't make a practice of this, but sometimes you take it as a challenge. Let's see how fast I can get going before I get to that sign. That's kind of the way people would drive if we didn't have the threat of getting a ticket. and then having your insurance go up and everything else having to go to court. But it's, so we know that the government has this role, and that's important. And then there are some people, when it comes to certain crimes, there are people who are mandated reporters, for instance, for child abuse, when if you work at a school or a church or in a hospital or different things, you're required to report certain things, and you have that responsibility. And our society would just deteriorate into anarchy if we didn't have forces of the law actually doing what they do to enforce the rules. And so it's true in a government situation or as they mandate, that would be, as he says, there's a place for that. At the same time, you need to understand, where is your authority coming from? Because there are some people who just think that they are self-appointed policemen over the world, or self-appointed policemen over the church, or over the country, or whatever. If you aren't in a position where you are, your responsibility is to snoop around and uncover things that are wrong, then don't take that position on yourself. Don't anoint yourself as being the policeman of the world or the policeman of your relatives or the policeman of everyone that you know. Make sure that it's authority that's actually yours. Don't take a scripture in the Old Testament where a person was specifically called to be a watchman and then you decide, I'm a watchman too. That doesn't work that way. But also when we look at the situation, the thing that is clear in two of these four verses is love is at the center of how you handle these situations. So you ask yourself a question before you expose something, before you repeat something, are you motivated by love? Because it's love that covers all sins. It's love that's at work in this way. It's seeking love that allows you to conceal a transgression. So do you truly love the person who you are calling out for their failure or the person that you're repeating what they've done? Are you really motivated by love? And it's not always easy to tell. A lot of times people will say, you know, I'm saying this because I love you. And you're like, you wouldn't even have to say that if you were really doing something loving to me. And it's kind of like, I don't want to be rude, but I'm going to be. And so to know our own hearts, most people think that they are motivated by love no matter what they do. I'm killing you out of love for you. But we need to look at our own hearts and say, is it love that is really causing us to decide whether this is an item that should be confronted or repeated or reported? Or is there something else that's motivating me? Love for the offender, but also potentially love for somebody who is being victimized, someone who is in danger because of someone else's behavior. Look at Proverbs 31, the last chapter of Proverbs. And there's an interesting passage here, verses 8 and 9. It says, open your mouth for the speechless, in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. So despite what Solomon has said about don't be blabbing things, don't be broadcasting things, don't be ratting people out all the time, but he says, hey, if there is someone who is a victim who can't defend themselves, if there is someone who is being taken advantage of, shame on you if you don't address that and speak for them. You speak for people who can't speak for themselves. That is a mandate that we all have. Therefore, hey, if you're doing something and mistreating a child, okay, I get it. You had a bad childhood and you're that way. Or, you know, if you're taking, you know, abusing your wife or a woman or somebody weaker than you, okay, yeah, you got baggage. I know. I don't know what she said. But as far as I'm concerned, you have no excuse at all. And I will address it and I will call it out. And it's a shame to me if there is somebody who continues to be victimized because for some misguided reason, I am protecting a perpetrator. So that clearly, that's not a case where we should be covering up what somebody is doing. We should be exposing them, and they need to be exposed when they're victimizing others. To be the voice for people who can't speak up for themselves is a huge responsibility we have. But ultimately, love, if we're going to be loving people, love is all about covering up sin. Now you might go, wait, what? I've never heard, that's not in 1 Corinthians 13. I haven't seen that on a greeting card or anything. But think through this with me a little bit. How do you become friends with someone? How do you form a real relationship? And when you are truly someone's friend, not like Facebook friends, but real friends, it's because it's safe for you to be vulnerable, for you to be yourself with a person. And that means, because everyone sins constantly, we are all deeply flawed people. If you're going to have a relationship with someone, the first requirement is that you make them feel like it's safe for them to be themselves. Other than that, it's not really a friendship. It's a deal that you make with other people to just go, we'll just keep it really surfacey, and I'm going to pretend to be this, and you pretend to be that, and we'll get along just fine. Friendship is based on trust. But what you do as a friend is when you hear what somebody has said, when they've blown it, you go, instead of saying, oh, you should be ashamed of yourself. How could you? What were you thinking? How did you? Instead, you say, okay, you did that. I'm your friend. I love you. Let's figure out what the best way to address this is. Let's start here. Now, what can you do to rectify this, to make it better? That's what love does. That's what friendship does. Also, love gives the benefit of the doubt. If you hear something about someone else, do you just assume that it's true the way you heard it? Or do you at least, when you hear something about somebody, go, well, maybe there's more to the story. I wonder what the context was. I wonder who it is that's actually the source of this information. So often, when we hear something that we're kind of glad to hear because it's about somebody that we don't like, we tend to swallow it and just believe it completely. I can't even tell you about the number of emails that I get from people forwarded about something that I just write back and I go, will you just check Snopes.com before you repeat this stuff? Because the Snopes website looks into all these fake, you know, urban myths and things like that. And it seems like Christians especially are so happy to believe the craziest thing about people they don't like. And what love does is just goes, okay, calm down here. Let me look into this a little bit more. Let me not just be so quick to believe something bad about someone that I won't even look at it. Love gives the benefit of the doubt. Love doesn't immediately go and bowl somebody over for something you heard they did or you heard they said. Love comes to someone and says, you know, I heard this, but I just wanted to hear from you. Like, what's the story? How did this happen? You can beat them up later after you get the whole story, but until you get the story, love just says, I'm not going to jump to conclusions. That's what love does. Love is patient, Paul says. And love is always based on forgiveness. Basically, to be in a relationship with someone else, a relationship of love, you are coming together and saying, I'm going to blow it a lot. And I know you're going to blow it a lot, but let's make a deal between us that we will forgive each other. Because if you can't do that, you don't have a relationship. In some ways, I think we should wipe out some of the marriage vows that we have and just promise to forgive. Because if you promise to forgive and you mean it, you have a lot going for you in terms of forming a relationship with others. But forgiveness is at the base of love, which is then at the basis of relationships. Now, God is the best example of this kind of love. Think about what God knows about you, because he knows everything you've ever done, everything you've ever said, everything you've ever thought, everything you've ever intended or planned or fantasized about. He knows it all. How much of that stuff did he bust you for? You know, you didn't even get a ticket every time you drove too fast. So God has this way of looking at us and just going, I'm going to let that one go. I heard that, but I'm going to let that one go. I know what you were thinking of, but I'm going to let that go. Because the only way that God could ever deal with humans would be for him to look past the flaws, the sins, the failures that we have. And in fact, that's what he did in the person of his son, Jesus, who he sent to the earth. And how did he treat people? He wasn't going around calling everybody out for all their sins. We sometimes read the Bible very selectively. Now, Jesus did confront certain people and call them out for their sins. He did tip over the tables of the money changers because they were corrupting, you know, the temple. He did address the legalistic Pharisees who were judging others so much, and he finally called them what they were. But he didn't do that to all of the common everyday sinners that were around him. He didn't do that to adulterers. He didn't do that to those who had been, you know, working against the government. He didn't do that to the crooked tax collectors. He reached out to those kinds of people, and he looked past their sin, and he looked to their heart, and he loved them. And not only that, he gave his life to die for them. His heart is to have our sins covered, and he did that. Now, you go, well, but we still need to stand up to legalistic people. Okay, you know, there's a place for that, but be very careful because I haven't yet. I can rant against legalistic religious people all day long, but I haven't figured out how I can do it without being judgmental against them and then therefore becoming what I am despising. When it comes to our everyday contact with normal people who aren't claiming to be God's gift to the world, do we look at them with the same grace that God looks at them? Can we look past their sin? Can we cover for them? Can we have their backs? Do we? That's the heart of our Lord. It's what God has done for us.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages. A great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Now with some practical application, here again is Pastor Dave.
Now, when we look at all this stuff, I think, you know, there are a few things that we can certainly apply in our lives. First of all, I want to challenge you to be a safe person, to be someone who, when people talk to you, they aren't afraid to be vulnerable, to be honest, to express themselves for real, to tell you when they've messed up, knowing that you're not going to pick on them about it. That's so important. The world needs people who will do that. Maybe you think in your life, do you have anyone that's totally safe that you could tell them anything and you know they're going to be behind you? We need to try to be those kinds of people. We need to create a safety that causes people to know, you don't have to pretend with me. You can be exactly who you are, and I'll try to act like I'm not shocked, and I'll be there with you, helping you. Okay, where do you go from here? We need to be safe because we need to have the heart that God has. As, again, it makes it clear, God delights in covering sin. do I delight in covering sin? Do I, when I see somebody mess up, do I want to see it behind them? Do I want to see them move beyond it? That's the choice that I make. And we can either be safe people or we can be self-appointed law enforcement that just busts people if we find out that they did something.
We'll be talking about the fear of the Lord next time we get together for The Balanced Word with Dave Roth. We'll see you then. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up, early.